Our first speaker, as noted in your folder, we had a swap of speakers because of some travel conflicts. So Manuel Soni was scheduled to speak at 3:15 this afternoon. He graciously helped us out by switching to 8:30 this morning, and the program that was going to be on at 8:30 this morning will now be on at 3:15 this afternoon. Manuel started his 25-year career in RF engineering at ERI in 1991, where he was involved in the development of FM master antenna systems on the Empire State Building and the Prudential Building in Boston. In 1997, Manuel moved to Dielectric Communications and for 11 years assisted in the design, manufacture, and testing for products for the DTV transition, or the digital build-out, I mean. In 2008, Howell Laboratories hired Manuel to manage its RF engineering department. He eventually ended up back at ERI, and he's currently the manager of television engineering there. He's responsible for the television antenna product line, including the development of new products. Manuel is a native of the Dominican Republic. Please welcome Manuel Soni.
Morning. I would like to thank the Wisconsin Broadcasting Association for this opportunity. Broadcasters are always looking for ways of lowering their costs. Well, heck, just before coming here, I was able to lower my costs on a bill by $116 a month. I think that is a good deal. We are going to review the specific details why, in our view, by installing an aluminum transmission line with inner made out of copper will save you money about 30% less. Here are the topics that I'm going to go over. Oh, here is a pointer. I will cover this morning to prove to you that it is advantageous to have a transmission line made out of, with the outer made out of aluminum and the inner made out of copper. We're going to cover theft, cost of price, the geometry, corrosion, installation, support system, support systems. I should try reading over here. The power, thermal expansion, and insertion loss. With copper prices at over $2 per pound, there's a lot of incentive for theft to find more metal. In the last 5 years, copper theft has tripled. The amount of copper that is successfully stolen and redeemed exceeds $1 billion. That's a lot of copper. The majority of the copper comes from utilities, large factories, refrigerations, and last but not least, the broadcasters. I did not install here a picture of a gentleman with a chainsaw going through a transmission line because it would shock many of you. And it was live. Broadcasters may very well take themselves out of this equation by changing their feed system. If a thief is coming by or is searching around your facilities for copper and sees an aluminum transmission line, for sure they're not going to pay attention. The price of copper in combination with other factors has steered our industry to investigate other materials for the manufacture of rigid coaxial transmission line. Although copper prices have continuously fallen for the past 4 years, aluminum is still attractive due to its lower cost by weight. Copper down 56% and aluminum is down 38%, with a recent copper commodity price of $2.17, an aluminum price of 70 cents per pound, for a price ratio of $2.86. Furthermore, with a copper to aluminum density ratio of 3.31:1, the ratio of copper cost per cubic inch to aluminum cost per cubic inch is currently approximately 9.7 times. In other words, at recent prices, the cost of material in copper outer is nearly 10 times that of aluminum. In addition, the price of manufacturing is lower due to the lower weights of material, ease of handling, cleanliness of mill pipes, and availability of raw materials from mills in the United States being aluminum. You do not have to import the copper from overseas for an outer copper line. As manufacturers and users, we are concerned with the roundness of tube we use. Tube roundness and straightness tolerance are provided by measuring the OD and ID with percentage deviation per 10-foot length. When an order is placed to a mill, the tolerances are specified. Aluminum or copper tolerances usually outperform specifications. The measurements, electrical measurements, presented later will indirectly show very good roundness. Years of experience with other aluminum transmission line systems, such as waveguides, in addition to aluminum antennas and aluminum inputs, have indicated no significant detrimental effects or serious shortening of life due to aluminum corrosion under even severe atmospheric conditions. It is common practice to use nickel-plated parts or transitions to avoid galvanic corrosion wherever dissimilar metals come into contact, copper or brass against aluminum. It has been several years since stainless steel hardware is coated with a thin film lubricant containing molybdenum disulfide to prevent corrosion and threat galling. This has been used across the industry for several years in copper lines. We have proven that using the same thin film helps with the to prevent galvanic corrosion in aluminum lines. Aluminum line weighs 44% of copper. Due to this fact, we are able to reduce the number of basket lift, reduce number of springs required to support a line, and reduce the time placing individual line, expediting line installation. It is much easier for an individual tied to a tower to handle a 20-foot stick of aluminum line. This same procedure would require two individuals to place the same line in a tower. Hanger systems. Hanger systems are designed to support transmission line while permitting differential thermal expansion between copper or aluminum outer conductors and the steel tower. However, in reviewing general instructions and recommendations for spring hangers installation, it becomes clear that proper installation is complicated, and in fact, many systems, if incorrectly installed, may be oversprung to the point that they may operate with significant upward thrust under most ambient condition. Therefore, increased spring intervals may be appropriate for copper transmission system, even more for lighter aluminum system. An aluminum line 6061T-6 material has a yield strength of approximately 35 to 40,000 PSI. Greater than copper, C110, with a yield strength of 25 to 30,000 PSI. What this means is that the strength of aluminum line is greater, although these lines are supported by spring hangers, is greater than the strength of copper lines. Theoretically, the aluminum system could be suspended from a fixed hanger with a safety factor of 10. Even copper line could be suspended with a safety factor of approximately 5. However, conventional good practice dictates distribution of the line load on the tower by incorporating periodic support springs. This table assumes 1,000 feet of 4-inch coaxial line. We can see that the rigid hangers necessary are the same. The slip hangers to hold the line in correct, you know, alignment is the same, but the spring hangers is close to half. Lateral guides are the same. So there's a saving of materials and a saving of installation. Peak and average power. The peak power is governed by a voltage breakdown. The average power is governed by insertion loss. The current carrying element is the inner, which is the same inner for aluminum or copper line, and has the same limitation in a copper outer as an aluminum outer. The outer is grounded, so the current going through that outer is very small. In a copper transmission line system, the simple solution is the cutback of the inner to make it smaller so there's sufficient room to allow the bullet to go in and out depending on the temperature variation due to either temperature variation due to the sun or temperature variation due to the power fluctuation. This movement of the inner connector causes material deterioration from friction and ultimately results in either mechanical or electrical failures at the contact points. And basically is just that bullet, there's a cutback usually on all manufacturers have a cutback between the bullet and the line, and there are three different methods that they are used to correct for this. One of them is a watchman spring. The other one is a bellow, which we will expand later. And last is corrugated inner conductor, using bolted joint between each section. That is no longer available. A corrugated system, bellows, allows our design to contract around for a 3-inch line, 0.034. inches. I've made a table here to analyze the. It's better if I look over. To analyze better, analyze a system. We have two different scenarios: one with power in the system; the other one, the system is not being powered at all. When the system is not transmitting. At rest, we assume that the ambient, the temperature is 70 degrees Fahrenheit. On the left, you see an ambient temperature of minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. So the change from rest is negative 90 degrees. The inner change in copper is, inner is 0.194. The outer change is 259. The expansion rate for aluminum and copper are different, aluminum being greater. So the net change is negative 65 thousandths of an inch. So basically, there is a compression of the bullet of 65 thousandths on that corrugated inner. The other extreme, if we have an ambient temperature of 120 degrees, and I'm sure in Wisconsin it is not unusual for having that temperature. I was able to come about a month ago to Lake Pepin, and the heat index, I don't know if it reached 102, 104, but I bet with the sunlight on top of a transmission line, it was close to 120. As a side note, I was impressed, and I wish to pose this question to all of you. In the earliest times, when we did not have computers or television or people telling us what the forecast was going to be, how did people or Native Americans know when that river was going to rise beyond its border? I was impressed by the steep walls that that river has carved. I was able to ride in Lake City, Minnesota. There's a golf course up there. And I went up there and I looked around and I see how much that river has carved and made those bluffs on either side. And it's just incredible. To me, it's amazing. Anyhow, that was a side note there. When we have 120 degrees Fahrenheit outside, the change in temperature from the rest of 70 degrees is 50. The inner copper has changed 108.108 inches. The outer has changed 144 thousandths of an inch, with a positive compression of, of a positive expansion of 0.036. So all the transmission line have a gap of 70 thousandths. So that gap, because of that expansion differential, is going to increase from 0.070 to 0.106. Let's go to the other extreme. Let's say we are at max power for that transmission line, and the ambient temperature, again, is very cold, not unusual in January in Wisconsin. The change in the delta change from 70 is minus 90. The net change on the outer is 259 inches, 0.259. On the inner, the net change for that same temperature ratio is 281 inches, negative 281. So the bellows are compressed by 281. Remember that I mentioned that for this particular analysis of 4-inch line, the bellows are able to compress 340,000. Let's go to the other extreme, a temperature 120 degrees. The outer at 120, the delta from 70 is 50. The net change is 144,000. The inner, the temperature is 220. The net change is 150 degrees. The net change on the inner is 324. So the difference between the inner and the outer is 180,000 negative, which the bellows will take part. All the bellows on aluminum transmission lines are looking upward. Broadcasters generally assume greater insertion loss values when comparing similar coaxial line constructed with the similar outer conductor metal in our present discussion of aluminum versus copper. What I did for this experiment, because I was not going to measure every line. I chose a line of 100 feet, 4 and a 16. I calibrated my instrumentation. I set up the lines, and the only difference between one line and the other is the outer. The same inner, the same bullets, the same cables to measure. We took in consideration what the ambient temperature was for these measurements that was happening in the place that we did. And these are example of the setup that we did. We performed two calibrations, and these were full two-port calibration. So we would measure insertion loss, we would measure impedance, we would measure transmission and reflection, one way and the other. And these are the results. As I just said, we did two different calibrations. One was for the VHF band and the other one for the TV UHF band. And for the different frequencies, you see, you can detect that there is a difference in the attenuation between copper and aluminum line. But the difference is very small. This is the UHF attenuation. I start at 470 and ended at 806. Again, there is a slight difference between the insertion loss in a aluminum line versus a copper line. But I think the benefits for that amount of loss overcomes, you know, that amount of loss. It's not much that you're going to lose. Again, this is due to the reduction in theft, the probability of somebody coming to steal your line, I think is beneficial. The cost versus price is attractive. The geometry, it is, like I said, if our geometry of our line were not good enough, you would have seen it in the results of the measurements of the insertion loss. Corrosion. I don't know how many of you have worked in TV, but there are many waveguide feed line on tall towers in different areas of this country that have been in service for many, many years. And due to corrosion, I have never heard of an issue. The wall thickness of an aluminum line is greater than the wall thickness of a copper line. It's just the way that the mills produce. The wall thickness of an aluminum line is 064. Of a copper line is 049. Installation. For sure, as I mentioned, there is a lot of savings in installing an aluminum line versus a copper line. Support system. You reduce the amount of components that I use. Power, it is the same. You would not know. Thermal expansion, if the appropriate system is used to take into account the thermal expansion, it is not an issue. Last but not least, insertion loss is very small. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, when operating on the West Coast near the ocean, there is salt spray.
Yes.
I noticed it corrodes transmitter heat sinks badly, to the point that the transmitter can be ruined within 2 years. And I'm wondering about 6061 T6 transmission line. How about the corrosion resistance with salt spray? And do I need to carefully specify the type of aluminum alloy used in the construction of the transmission line?
Our experience so far has been we have several installations on the East Coast, not on the West Coast, and that it is not an issue. It has not been an issue, and these have been in service for over 5 years. Recently, it was inspected and it was found to be in good condition. As long as the line is inspected every other year, just in case, I don't see an issue. Being the wall thickness being, yes, the aluminum is going to corrode. There's no, anything will corrode in seawater. I don't care what it is. Even plastic get corroded in seawater. But because of the wall thickness increase, I don't think you will have an issue with the aluminum line.
Can I assume it's all built to EIA standards?
Correct.
And that means that in the transmitter building, we might be using some copper pieces of transmission line to connect onto the aluminum line, right? And then are we also going to have any dissimilar metal problems when we connect aluminum outer with copper outer?
There will be a transition metal in between them. Wherever there is a there will be a piece of line that is prepared for that situation. We do have those pieces of line, being inside or outside.
Wait a minute, I didn't quite understand that. You bring two different dissimilar metals together, and you do what in the middle?
In the middle, you install a treated piece of line. So you do not have a contact with aluminum versus copper.
Okay, and that'll happen right at the transmitter too, which likely has copper.
Yes, it could happen in the inside or outside, depending on your installation.
Okay, thank you.
Is ERI making this line now? Is the line generally going to be available from other manufacturers? And what about the use of stainless steel hardware in connecting sections of the line?
Your first question is other manufacturer making line. I'm aware, I don't know if Dielectric makes smaller line, but I know they make a 9-inch aluminum line. I don't know if they have decided or are interested in making aluminum line. In regards to the hardware, as I mentioned, I cannot enunciate the corroding, molybdenum disulfide. It is placed on the line, it is coated. It is coated in all our lines, the hardware, because it is a stainless steel hardware, and it has proven that it's not an issue with that. And you had a third question, I'm sorry.
Not a third question, but an observation. The first example of aluminum transmission line was the 9-inch line at WLW in Cincinnati when they went to the 500,000 watts. And I have often wondered why the aluminum transmission line didn't take off from there.
I wouldn't be able. I know that aluminum line 9-inch has been used for high power situation outside of this country. I don't know why it hasn't taken off in this country. We have installed 5 systems of aluminum lines so far in the last 7 years. Yes, sir.
Two questions. I'd like to have you explain that transition for the similar metals, how that transition is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, what are the flanges made out of? What grade of aluminum, or are they aluminum? And how is the flange attached to the transmission line? Is it welded or some other method?
Okay, I'll go backwards. The flange, it is made of the same material, and it is welded onto the tube. Yes, sir. In regards to avoid the galvanic corrosion, a piece of line nickel-plated will be inserted wherever that dissimilar metal is coming into play. If any of you have any other questions, just send me an email. If you want I have more measurements of that particular line. If you're interested in a particular measurement, the S parameters were saved for both scenarios. The transmit and the reflect, S11, S12, S21, and S22. Thank you.